Thank you very much, Annegrethe. I'm going to speak remarkably little about wind energy. I think it's the presentation I ever made where I spoke the least about wind energy. I have changed the title of my presentation a little. It used to be a level playing field for renewables, and I have changed it to a level playing field for power in the EU, because I think my main point is that renewables should not have special treatments, and my main point in this presentation is that there is no level playing field. If there were, wind power or other renewables wouldn't need any special treatment. So I think this presentation will focus on giving a picture that competition in the electricity market in the EU is a myth. It doesn't happen, it's not present, and it's unlikely to be that, even though we have a deadline for 2007, that we will have competition. We don't have competition, it's fraught with an enormous amount of distortions, and those distortions favor the incumbent utilities, and they are in disfavor to new entrants, of which renewables is one of them. So that's my main point, is we don't necessarily want anything special treatment, we just want to, in the first place, to get those distortions removed, and I will present some of those distortions. If we go back to the foundation of the European community, two of the three founding treaties are based on energy, so the whole system is based on energy. The European Coal and Steel Community expired in 2002, so it is no longer, but it doesn't mean that subsidies are not still paid to coal. We'll get back to that. The Eurotrome Treaty has no expiration, and I'm sure this has been covered a lot, so I'm not going to go into the details on the nuclear issue, only going to say that Eurotrome does not contain any specific provisions for state aid control, and that means that the normal EC treaty rules on state aid cannot be applied to the nuclear power sector. And I don't understand why. Euratom also places a privilege status for state funding on one source of energy, in fact on one sector of the economy. Why? The European courts have never clarified the legal relationship between Euratom and EC state aid rules. Why? There's no democratic control through the European Parliament on Euratom. They have no influence on decisions in the Euratom. Why? So Europe has, in fact, one sector that has a whole, an entire treaty to itself. Why? It is completely nonsense, and it's very far from being anything remotely close to a competitive internal electricity market. What Eurotrom does is it practically prevents any real competition in the internal electricity market by giving one-third of the power produced in the European Union special privileges. So again, I don't want to talk about giving wind energy special privileges. If we could have something like this, we certainly would appreciate it, but removing that is really the first step to introduce new entrants, including renewables. So this, of course, creates a great deal of market distortion, and of course a lot of these distortions are determined by historical development. The European Commission, prior to the 1980s, the power sector was basically determined by national monopolies, which were granted a mandate to fund everything they wanted to do over electricity bills. In the 90s, the Commission challenged the existence of these power monopolies, and they felt that they were contrary to the EC treaty rules on competition and cross-border movements. So we got an electricity and a gas directive in 1996 and 98 for gas, and in 2003 the EU came together with common rules for electricity and gas, which was a second package of liberalization of the gas market. So since the 2001, the Commission has been looking into how competition is developing inside this common market for electricity and gas. The main conclusions in the first and second reports that were published by the Commission was that there are significant distortions. member states are failing to, or basically directives are failing to lead to a competitive integrated market. The Commission came out with a new assessment in its third benchmarking report on the conditions of competition in 2004. The main conclusions were more or less the same, that it's a main problem of market dominance at national level. There's an inadequate level of interconnection, and this is for electricity. For gas, it's even worse. And in the beginning of this year, 2005, the Commission came out with its fourth report, and so far the last. And the conclusions are certainly not changing. So the main conclusions remains that there's no cross-border transmission links, which has an impact on competition. Market dominance is still one of the main concerns. We have biased grid operators because we have no effective unbundling between generation and transmission. And there's no existence of a liquid wholesale power market because within the trading arms of the vertical, the integrated utilities, they are basically buying and selling power on behalf of customers, selling on behalf of themselves and determining a price. So they are both on the supply and the demand side of the wholesale power market. We would love to be able to sell turbines in that way. So the main conclusion from all these exercises of the Commission looking into to the competition in this market is that market concentration is one of the most important obstacles to development, and there are more distortions as well. This is just to give you a brief some quotes from what the former Energy Commissioner Loyola de Palacio said in terms of whether there's competition, and the same from Competition Commissioner Mario Monto. And it's more or less the same story. The current level of competition is not encouraging, and we are still far away from real competition in the electricity market. So if we look a little bit at the issue of dominant players, which is probably what the Commission sees as the main problem in terms of creating real competition. The six largest power companies in Europe owns 60% of the generation assets, and at the same time sits on 80% of the infrastructure. In 12 of the 15 member states, the three largest utilities are in control of more than two-thirds of the electricity market. One of the very, I wouldn't say interesting, but a fact is that this trend towards larger and larger market shares for the incumbents is actually being increased, it's not being decreased. We are getting larger and larger utilities, they're emerging across borders, which means that they will be able to exercise market dominance unless, and this is the only tool the Commission really has, is to increase the interconnector capacity between member states. Unfortunately, member states are not too interested in doing that. So basically, the Commission sees the domination and also the lack of interconnector capacity as one of the two absolutely main barriers. And it's proof that the trend continues, that if we look at how much money is being invested and why utilities are investing in vertical integration in terms of mergers and acquisitions. One could ask, why is this? Are the member states not interested in creating competition? The Commission is following this process. They are constantly, as I'm showing here, telling member states that these are the problems. We need to do something about the dominant positions. We need to do something on interconnectors. So they are trying to put forward directives that's going to alleviate these problems. But unfortunately, the member states these days are very busy building national champions, and we're seeing in this country alone, we're seeing merger activity. Dong and Elsam is one example. You have the same between E.ON and Ruhrgas in Germany and in Portugal. We also have cases where we get larger and larger national champions, and they are basically accepted by the regulators, being the politicians. When E.ON and Ruhrgas was where there were talks about putting those together, the German competition authority said that this was a really, really bad idea. The legislation was passed anyway. So member states are very busy building up national champions in most countries, and that means that they to some extent are not interested in following the recommendations of the Commission. The same is true for a large part with the European Parliament. The issue of market dominance is strengthened by the fact that it's not only that we have one of the most concentrated markets in any sector in relation to electricity, with the largest potential for market abuse, but given the specific nature of electricity, meaning that you have to meet demand second by second, it is the easier, and you reach a possibility to abuse a very large position at a lower level like you would in any other sector of the economy. So it's painfully clear that generation must be separated from transmission. Again, the European Commission, in its latest round of directives, proposed full ownership and bundling of transmission and generation. Again, the member states opposed this, and that means that you need to have legal separation between entities in transmission and generation, but you can have it under the roof of one utility. So it doesn't really change much. And again, the Commission was pushing for it, the member states were against it, and the Parliament as well, to some extent. In terms of whether this ownership unbundling actually encourages competition, in those member states which have ownership unbundling requirements, the top three utilities only sits on 66% of the power market, whereas in those countries where ownership unbundling requirements are not present, the top three companies are sitting on 84% of the power market. So generation must be separated from transmission. Transmission is a natural monopoly, and there's no way around it. If we don't have it separated, the possibilities of abuse are simply too great. Another issue leading to enormous distortions in the electricity market in Europe and globally, in fact, are the issue of subsidies. And it's quite interesting that whenever we're talking subsidies in the electricity sector, it's always renewable subsidies. In fact, looking at both R&D budgets in the IEA countries, but also in at EU level, and I have some figures on that later, presently fossil fuels and nuclear are receiving way more subsidies and way more R&D funds than renewables are. And if we take into account what they have received throughout history, it's a fraction that's been going into renewables. And it's very difficult to convince people about this. Renewables equals subsidies, other technologies equals no subsidies, when in fact it's the other way around, and taking in the historic development as well of these budgets just reinforces that. If we look at the subsidies in Europe, I'm not going to go through all these things, but I'm going to mention one thing, which is the European Environmental Agency, which last year came out with a report on the power subsidies in the EU 15 countries at the time. 75% of the EU subsidies that member states provide actually goes to fossil fuels and nuclear. It is a myth that renewables are heavily subsidized, and it's strange that the subsidy debate is always on renewables. I would propose to remove these unproductive subsidies to fossil fuel and nuclear, because that would also reduce the need to support renewables. And any member state must be interested in, especially in these times of budget constraints, The more we give to fossil fuels and nuclear, the more you will have to give to renewables in order for them to compete. So remove those subsidies and you wouldn't have to put so much investments into actually promoting new technologies such as renewables. I think everybody agrees that you can't introduce new technology without some sort of support, and that's been done for every energy technology. The problem is that the renewables are entering the market at a time when R&D budgets are being cut and where the whole issue of competition is being raised. So we are entering the market under slightly different market conditions. And that is a challenge for us. So I think the main point is that if, for instance, wind power had received the amount of R&D funds spent on other technologies, we would probably be able to put a wind turbine on the moon and get the electricity back to Earth in a cost-effective manner. It's really substantial funds. It could take history into account as well. Another issue, and I'll not go into too much detail, is the issue of environmental costs. It does cost to pollute, and it has to be recognized. It's in the European treaties as well, but it doesn't apply to power production for some reason. A 10-year study has said that if these environmental costs in forms of health and environmental degradation were included, the cost of producing electricity from coal would double, the cost of producing from gas would increase by 30%. It's just another distortion of this market. So this issue of competition in the power market is really a myth, and I've just listed some of the reasons for that, but that is basically what I've been talking about the last 15 minutes, 20 minutes. The issue is, if this is a myth, why do I care really about this? And our main problem is that, just as with the subsidies, there's an increasing call on creating competition between renewables in the European arena, and a lot of that call comes from vertically integrated power companies. I represent a sector that is trying to enter a market and trying to break these monopolies, and we're trying to deal with them every day. And new entrants are a precondition for a real competition. Our main problem in relation to this is that the vertically integrated power companies are really promoting competition, but not competition in the conventional power sector, competition in renewables. They assume that competition is already existing when we are saying, but hang on, we represent 5% of the European power market. We still have a long way to go in creating some competition in 95% of the power market. The answer is, but by 2007, we will have real competition, because that's when the directive has to be applied. It's very important to recognize that the directive is mostly based on giving the suppliers the freedom to choose electricity provider by 2007. But unless we deal with some of these distortions I've mentioned here, we will have a situation in 2007 in which the consumers will be free to choose between one electricity provider. And I think it's normal. If I were a monopoly, I would do the same. If I had 100% of the market, I would fight every day to keep people out of the market. It's very natural, and that's why I would probably also go out and call for those 5% where I don't have a dominant position to be exposed to competition. It's very clever, and it's very difficult to get to grips with this idea. It's like the subsidies debate. Why are subsidies equal to renewables? It's only 25% of total subsidies currently per year. Taking in the historic aspect into account is the same. And the same thing with this competition. We must have competition with renewables. It is basically assumed that competition exists in the power market, or at least they will in 2007. I'll skip that one. The other issue is that we are faced with increasing import prices. Europe is not rich in energy, and we will be importing more energy the next 30 years, and the European Commission believes that the import share of energy is going to be going up from 50% to 70%. Energy imports at higher prices will hurt our competitiveness and our welfare, and exports of sophisticated technology will improve our competitiveness and welfare. It's very clear we don't have resources. We can't extract something that's not there from the ground in terms of fossil fuels and uranium, by the way. But we can create technology, and we're doing that. And it's not only in wind energy, we have very high market shares. In renewable technologies, Europe's extremely competitive. And that competitiveness is basically what we're going to live up, because we're not going to live up selling anybody fossil fuels or uranium. These are some of the challenges that we're facing in Europe and over the coming years. And if we go through the list, I think renewables are probably one of the only solutions that have a positive effect on all these European challenges. In two decades, Europe will be importing 70% of its energy compared to 50% today, unless we change direction, and this is according to the European Commission forecasts. It is clear that electricity will continue to play a large and increasing role in Europe's energy future. Half of the projected increase in energy is expected to come in gas demand from electricity. At the same time, we're faced with inherent volatility of oil and gas prices, and it's inflicting billion-euro drains on the European economies. So I think we need a strategy where we rely on, a strategy on reliance on imported energy sources at unpredictable and uncontrollable prices requires economic stability in the producer countries. And the current situation in the Middle East and oil trading between $60 and $70 dollars per barrel highlights how big a challenge this is. Creating a sound investment framework for renewables and redesigning Europe's grids to accommodate large amounts of renewables, and this was some of the issues that Terry raised also, and Mr. Sørensen, that would require far less political effort and capital than the alternative, and it would serve as an effective hedge against high and rising oil and gas prices. There are no fuel costs, so we know exactly what it's going to cost to produce the energy, no matter what the price of coal, oil, or gas is. So, to conclude, if real competition existed in the European electricity markets, it would have a positive knock-on effect throughout the European economies. And I'm talking about the overall electricity market. We get cheaper electricity, we get more competitive. But effective competition in the European power markets is a myth currently, and competition is far from effective, and it's a far cry from being reality. It's not going to happen in 2007 either. Unless these distortions in the conventional internal electricity market are overcome, there will be no effective internal renewable electricity market for us to compete in. We don't mind competing, but we would like to do it in a level playing field, and a level playing field for all technologies. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We still have some time left for questions. Yeah, it's one down here.
Ebbe Münster. I have a comment on the need of interconnectors between countries. Understand that this is the way an economist will think, that okay, if there's a difference in price between Italy and Norway, we have to build enormous transmission lines and then they will have the same price. Very nice. But if we look at it from an environmental point of view and from engineering point of view, that's not a wise solution. We have to take the dynamic nature of the electricity market into question, and understand that we don't necessarily need to have the same price in all parts of Europe, but we need a fair competition locally. Within each region, it should be possible to compete on a fair level, and that means that we have to organize the regulation of the electricity markets in a fair way. For instance, I have myself been working with the balance in Denmark, and found in calculations that it's possible to increase the share of wind power in Denmark up to 50% without having to increase the connections to Norway and Germany, if we organize our system properly. That is, that we use the flexibility that we have from our power and heat producing plants in an optimal way. So it's possible to organize the markets locally in a way that the cost of balancing wind power, for instance, is kept to a minimum. And this should be taken into consideration.
I can't answer anything. I think also a lot of it was a common. I can only agree that the cost of balancing should be at a minimum. I would probably tend to believe that a market for that would be the most efficient thing. At the moment, it's very intransparent what we are charged in terms of balancing power in many countries. So I can only agree with that. In terms of the interconnectors, you said that it's an economist way of looking at it. True, and I am an economist, but this is also the way the Commission is looking at it, because they're, and that was why I was talking about it, that's basically the only possibility they have left, because they can't get the member states to agree on doing something in dominant positions. With that said, I think a lot of what you're saying is the issue of decentralization of electricity and making a more regional approach than an EU approach. That might be right, it might be wrong. My perspective is clearly from a European perspective. I know there's a process going on in terms of trying to create this, and my point is that the general perception is that this is working, where in fact it isn't. I'm not sure whether I'm answering your questions, but...
And then Charlie will have a question, and that will be the last one before we go to the pause.
thank you, Christian. I just want to ask you, subsidy is one thing. They can be taken away from the fossil fuels and the nuclear power. But what about the external costs? How can we solve the problem with the external costs? Because it's so obvious stupid that everybody knows that it's much more expensive for society using coal than using wind. But how are we integrating that in the so-called market? Because otherwise we will keep going with this skewed market that simply is completely unfair.
The issue of external costs is something we always come back to, and it's the whole polluter pays principle, and it's actually stated in the treaties that every member state has written that we abide to the polluter pays principle, but it doesn't apply to electricity for some obscure reason. I think the most effective way of dealing with it is a tax which reflects the external cost. Of course, these are difficult to measure, but I think a tax is the most simple way of dealing with that. Unfortunately, at a European level, you haven't been able to agree anything on taxes ever, and it's been a discussion for 10 years. So in practicality, I think it's extremely difficult. In theory, I think that's the way to deal with it. The cost of a carbon, the whole emissions trading issue, yes, it's fine, and if it's put together in the right way, which the ETS, the European ETS is not, but if it was put together in the right way, it's good for capping CO2 emission. But the price of a CO2 emission credit will never be equal to the external costs. And that's why I think a tax is the best way to do it, but I don't believe, at least at a European level, it can be done, but certainly at a local level or a national level.
Thank you very much.